guys, this is DJ Anita B here, and you're listening to House of Mimosa, the podcast. They got a great show coming up for you today, lots of fun segments, but before we get into the show, I got some hot music for you. This one's taking me back, a remix of an old one I love, Mary J. Blige's Family Affair. Now you get down and shake your booty to this, and we got the show coming up in just a minute.
Up in this dancery, got y'all open, now you're floating, so you got to dance for me. Don't need no hateration, holleration in this dancery. Let's get it percolating while you're waiting, so just dance for me. Come on, everybody, get on up, cause you know we got to get it wrong. Mary J's in the spot tonight, and I'ma make it feel alright. Come on, baby, just party with me. Let it loose and set your body free. Leave your situations at the door, so when you step inside, jump on the floor. Let's get it crunk up on that fun up on up in this dancery. Got y'all open, now you're floating, so you got to dance for me. Don't need no hateration, holleration in this dancery. Let's get it percolating.
Well, yeah. I think they're all here with us.
Well, yeah.
No, it really is funny. in playing a character so much,
yeah,
that becomes so easy that in playing yourself,
yeah, it's or very just difficult. Talking and being yourself yeah. is the hardest.
Well, that's another topic for another day.
That is a good topic.
Welcome to House of Mimosa, the podcast. How's everybody doing?
What's it, episode 5?
Episode 5 of our new, all new, brought to you by Dragaholic.com and Kitchen Restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
This is so exciting. We're having a really good time. We had a really busy week.
We did.
And we're excited to get right into it. Now, you have our media sheet there.
Yeah, you and Michelle were talking about something that you saw recently.
Take minutes.
What did we see?
Jasmine Master.
Oh, yeah. So, in speaking of doing our show and drag and Dragaholic... and please visit Dragaholic.com when you get a chance. There's such a really fun, positive drag fan site. If you're a fan of drag at all or are interested in drag at all, please go visit them. They've got fun, great articles and things that they discuss on there. It's really great. So we love Dragaholic. Hello, everybody over there. But we were watching Jasmine Masters YouTube. I think her thing is Jasmine Masters, I Got Something to Say. I can't remember.
Probably. That sounds like that would be the right title for it.
And who is she? I'm not familiar with her, so I want to know.
She's on Drag Race Season 7
she's
that's
on the
upcoming.
New
so coming up.
But we don't know when it's coming.
Okay, yeah.
Can we talk about that one
wait,
second
we have to get into
else?
That. Yeah. it's like Groundhog's Day. It's like waiting 6 weeks for it.
I do not understand how, like... In November, they were like, coming in January, Drag Race Season 7.
I don't think they ever said coming
they
in January.
They said January.
I don't think so. That was old ones. They never
really?
Said. Yeah.
I really feel like it said. And then now,
we have to wait.
Not Viacom, but another, is it Viacom? I don't know.
Oh, well.
One of the, whatever company owns Logo.
Yeah.
Which is Viacom, but I think there's a company that owns Viacom.
It's not,
I don't know. Anyway, put out a statement saying that, coming this spring, Drag Race Season 7.
Oh,
so, I'm a little upset.
I wonder why. I wonder what's going on.
Well, I'm thinking All Stars 2 is happening.
Really?
I think it's going to happen between, like, the end of February and...
Do you think they've already filmed it?
No.
Because Michelle Visage is doing Big Brother.
Right, but I
think
that's
she's
why
judge?
They're doing it in February. After she comes back. If she makes it to the end, it's ending in, like, 2 weeks.
Oh.
Yeah, but they can film that while the new season starts.
They could, but...
I mean, they're not working while the show is playing.
No, but...
They've already filmed and wrapped that. I don't know.
Well, Rude, I think, does those other excerpts of TV, but...
I don't know.
Maybe get the girls from Season 7 on there? That would be weird, but I'm sure one or two would pop on. I don't know.
So crazy.
We'll find out.
We're going to find out.
But
we're excited...
Damn you, RuPaul!
God damn you,
we're
RuPaul.
Excited to see the new season, so...
Yeah. So Jasmine Masters, who's a queen coming up on Season 7, has a YouTube channel, and... This one particular, Bob the Drag Queen, who we love, who we'll talk about some more in just a minute.
Yeah.
If you know her from New York City, she's a great drag performer. Probably, my top favorite drag performers in New York City is Bianca Del Rio and Bob the Drag Queen.
Yeah,
me too. And then us.
Yeah. Well.
I think we're right there. Yeah, no, I'm kidding. Bob the Drag Queen is so witty, really funny, does great.
Very entertaining.
Yeah, just so good. Such a great entertainer.
Great host, yeah.
But Jasmine Masters did a rant... which I think is her shtick, right? Is that
I have no idea what her shtick is. I can't tell from her little video.
I think that's her shtick.
No shade, but
she did this video. Let me get to it. About treating your local queens with respect. So her rant was to like the club owners and the promoters, and reminding them that just because your queens haven't been on Drag Race doesn't mean they shouldn't be given certain respect.
Yes,
she went on to say that. There's certain clubs that she hadn't heard from in, like, 4 years, but now that she's on Drag Race, they're banging down her door.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, you know, when I needed work, you couldn't throw me $50 and let me, you know, be at your club that night.
Yeah.
And it's true. You know, it really is true.
I mean, a lot of queens probably get that all the time.
Well, I know that we have definitely experienced the understanding of the power of being on television.
Yes.
So, I mean, these Drag Race girls really are pull an audience.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, of course they would. They're in everybody's home week after week, and you fall in love with their personalities, and of course you want to see them live.
There's nothing like that media coverage. Forget it.
Exactly.
You know?
And so, and that's great. And I think that, you know, Jasmine Masters also spoke about, like, as a drag queen, you have to audition for the show. You have to. If you want a career in this right now, you have to audition for the show. But she went on to say, the show could not have another season. I mean, I don't think it's going to happen now, but she said one day that show will end,
mm-hmm.
and who are you going to turn to?
True.
You need. I remember 10 years ago, before Drag Race, when I first moved to the city, the clubs had their queens that were like the star of the venue
of the place.
I
yeah.
remember those queens like would be
like the headlining act,
right?
Was
exactly,
such and such
and
or
their
whatever.
Queens were treated like celebrities.
Yeah, like royalty.
Yeah, exactly. And that doesn't really happen anymore because, first of all, there's, like, now an abundance of drag. Like, excuse me, effing everyone's...
It's okay.
Not that we can't do that.
You can cuss.
I know,
yeah.
I just feel bad.
I now declare open swearing.
Yeah.
Fuck!
Oh, yeah. I'm done.
Yeah.
Sorry, Mom. So, now there's an abundance of drag queens. I think that, you know, there's a lot of people that are doing drag, so many that are so talented,
yeah.
and so many that should just
right.
leave it to the other girls.
Yeah.
But,
I mean, and drag consists of so much now that it's like, you know, there are some girls that do it for the look and makeup, and some that do it for the because they have a talent and they want to show it and showcase
right.
it in a different way.
Right.
And, you know.
But it's true. I miss those days of being like, oh,
yeah.
this is the club you go to see this queen, and this is the club you go to
yeah.
see that queen, and...
I mean, I think it kind of still exists a little bit, but I don't know.
Like, Bob
yeah.
has her standing show.
Well, Bob's everywhere.
Yeah.
All
right.
the time.
But, like, she hasn't been on Drag Race. I don't know if she's planning on being or auditioning, but
I think
it would hurt her
no.
if she didn't.
Well, yeah.
So there's also, like,
putting
her time in.
They said the same thing for Bianca Del Rio.
Right.
She was like, I'm probably not going to audition. And then, you know,
right.
Lady Bunny told her to. That
Michelle
she should,
Visage told her to.
And
yeah.
Michelle Visage told her to,
yeah.
too. Yeah.
But she didn't need to get work. Like, Bianca mm-hmm. was working.
Yeah,
right.
and working all over the country.
Yeah.
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 But it's totally true. And then we get it all the time. You know, we get hired by people, and they're like, make sure you pull an audience. And it's like, well, okay, you've hired us for our show. We're going to give you quality entertainment, right?
Yeah.
Right.
But you got to work with us on the promotion.
Yeah.
I mean,
from day one,
us
you're not going to have, you know,
yeah.
you're paying us peanuts.
Yeah.
And what more promotion do you want us to do other than social media that's free? Like, we can only do so much. So
yeah.
as a business, you paying us peanuts, and I know that we get paid more than some other girls.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just can't imagine. Like, I mean, we don't get paid that much. And I know that there's some girls that'll work for $100 in free drinks. And
mm-hmm.
what do you expect those queens to do? Like, what do you... I don't understand.
They can't
like,
hire skywriters.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah. like, these... You have to work with your girls, with your performers, with bands, whoever you might hire. The establishment needs to work together. And
yeah.
how many times...
It has to be a team effort. Yeah.
Like, how many times do we work with a place and we're like, okay, here, we're going to bring you postcards that we've paid for the design and for the printing.
Mm.
We would just like you to distribute these to let your people know we're going to be here, and it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
And then it's like, well, we didn't get as many people here as we wanted. And it's like, oh, really? We had 175 people here. That wasn't enough? Like,
no.
what do you want from us? Like,
yeah.
So I get what Jasmine Masters is talking about as far as the respect aspect. I think that, you know, business owners are quick to forget, you know, we're a business just like you are. And
yeah.
when you opened your business doors, you may not have had a line around the block on day one. You have to work for that.
Yeah.
And it's the same for us.
And
you
have to work with an event. If you're going to create an event, you're going to have to establish it for a couple
right.
weeks in order to get it going.
At least a couple weeks.
At least,
yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. All right, so thank you, Jasmine Masters, for that. What else happened this week? Oh, speaking of Bob the Drag Queen.
Yeah.
We were so fortunate enough to have been asked by Bob to present
yeah,
an
right.
award at her Slammy Awards. Yeah,
which
the
is really
Slammys,
fun.
The Slammys, where every winner is a loser.
Yeah, exactly.
It's so fun. It's kind of like...
It was really tongue-in-cheek.
She
was
calls
all,
it like the shadiest night in nightlife or something like
and
that.
And I loved that each trophy was a shoe.
With a Barbie
with,
in
with
it.
With a Barbie
yeah,
in
well,
it.
Well, we should explain that the Slammys is like...
a spoof of the Glammy Awards.
Right. If you don't know what the Glammy Awards are, the Glammy Awards are a New York City nightlife-based award show where they award, you know, favorite live singer, favorite performer, favorite club, favorite night at a bar,
yeah,
favorite
yeah.
bar.
Like,
you know,
all different categories.
I mean,
but,
yeah.
you know, any category you can think
right.
of.
And Bob the Drag Queen Slammys is like...
the Razzies.
Know, right,
yeah,
exactly.
Kind of like the Razzies,
like,
yeah.
Like, we presented Worst Beat on our Drag Queen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that means, like, the worst makeup. You know, on a drag queen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which, who won? I don't remember. We presented, I don't even remember. I
was
just so nervous to get through
it. I think it was Paige Turner.
Oh,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But it was just funny. Like, the whole night was just... you know.
It was so much fun. Thank you so much, Bob, for having us.
Every time I hear Slammies, for wrestling fans, if you're out there, the wrestling community does a Slammy Awards every year for so the first time you said, we're hosting the Slammies, I was like, what?
Yeah.
I'm so confused. Why?
Actually,
how?
I think you posted something and tagged Slammy Awards and it came. That
was it wrestling?
It was wrestling. Because I clicked on it and it was wrestling. So I thought, that's so funny.
I was like, am I
going
to meet The Undertaker? I'm so happy.
That's so funny. We should talk about wrestling in another podcast because Michelle's such a big fan of wrestling
of WWE.
And we've been watching the Divas Live show with
the
you,
Total
right?
Total Divas.
Total Divas. So we did the Slammies. That was so much fun. And we did we talk about going to see Ivy Winters?
No.
No, I don't think we did, actually.
So
Ivy was having a going away party.
Ivy Winters from Drag Race season 5?
Yes.
4? 5?
I think it's
5. We've become friends with her, and you've heard us name drop her more than once at this point, but she's so nice and
so
fun,
great.
And we usually are working when she performs. In fact, we had a night, the same night she had a night going on, and we could never go, but this was her final performance in New York. She's moving to
Michigan.
Someplace, I'm not sure where.
Michigan, I believe, right?
I don't know if we should throw that out there.
Oh,
I don't know if she wants the whole world knowing where she's moving.
She
said sorry, girl. Oh, did she?
Okay,
yeah.
All right.
All right, girl, sorry.
Somewhere in Montana or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Some
I think it's Idaho or something
that's
like
it.
That.
Idaho, Utaho. So we went to see her, and that was great. She threw fire and spun plates, and
it was
awesome.
A fun show.
Yeah, it was so.
And
I had a night though. I had a.
Oh girl.
I've been on a short fuse lately. I have been on a short.
Are you PMSing?
Fuse.
Yeah.
You know what? Don't
I think Michelle should be the one.
Oh my god! Listen, don't anybody bother me. Leave me the hell alone.
Oh god.
Well.
Well, so, you know how people can get at the clubs.
Remember that resting bitch face?
Yeah, we talked about that. I have resting bitch face, and it boils from within. Let me just tell you. So we go, and we knew like we should go as Anita and Gina Marie to support our girl Ivy.
Yeah,
and we knew there was going to be some other queens there, and we knew it was at a really great club, and I'm not going to say where because I'm mad at them, and we'll talk about that too. So we get there, and we're looking good. Like, I felt like $1 million.
It was really fun, yeah.
I was like, I want to look like this is a night I got to look real good. So I did myself up. I was in my hair that, like, you know, I can't perform in because it's just so. And the dress that I can't perform in.
Such a way.
Yeah, exactly. I can't really move in it because it's just so. And you know, just very, I knew I was going to perch myself somewhere and that was going to be it for 4 hours. Don't anybody bother me. I'm just going to sit there and look good.
Yeah.
So we get there and it's a nightlife crowd, so it's late and
and people are drinking.
People are drinking.
We had some friends.
Our friends Daniel and Kobe came with us, and we were getting ready for the first performance, and so excited to see Ivy, and my friends had to go. So I walk them to the door, and I get, like, accosted at the door, and everyone wants to talk to me and take my picture, and who are you, and what's going on, and what are you here
what
for?
What are you wearing?
Exactly.
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
It was like that kind of night.
And I felt horrible. I freaking missed the first performance.
Oh, you did?
I literally could not get back inside.
Well,
I know, this one. This one doesn't remember nothing.
No, please.
So
you went to a show?
I know. I couldn't get back. I literally, like, for lack of being rude, could not get back inside.
Mm.
So I come inside. Oh, and while I'm out there, someone asks about, you know, who I am and what I do. So I give them our card.
Mm-hmm.
We have a card that, you know, talks about the House of Mimosa and what we do. Okay. So I go inside. I come to sit down. You know, I'm waiting for the set. I'm like, okay, the second show's in an hour. I'll just sit and be good. And people are getting drunk and bumping into me and being annoying. I'm like, oh, my God. So, like, I'm going to perch myself here and wait for the second show. This girl comes up. And she pulls you,
Steven,
on the dance floor.
And I remember this.
Pulls Gina Marie on the dance floor, and they're dancing. And then she comes up to me and is like, come dance. And I'm like, no, it's okay. You know, and at this point, it's late. It's like 2 or something. I'm getting cranky. I'm a little uncomfortable at this point. Been in drag for 4 hours or whatever. I'm like, okay, it's enough. I'm like, no, okay, no, come dance.
I just want to dance at you.
Yeah, exactly. And she's like pulling at me.
Oh,
she pulled me off of the step thing that I was sitting on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this place kind of has like a bleacher setup kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so I was up on like the third bleacher or whatever. And she kind of pulled me off. So I get down off of it and I'm like, no, I want to sit back down. She grabs me again and pulls the jewelry off of my hand onto the dirty-ass club floor. Okay. I'm thinking to myself, I don't want to dance. Now I have to bend over in the middle of the effing dance floor in front of all these people as a big girl dressed just so. Not cute. So I grab this girl I was so pissed. I grab her arm and I'm like, you're a bitch. I don't want to dance with you. You're a bitch. And you've just pulled the jewelry off my hand and now I've got to find it.
I would have made her pick it up for me.
Well, she was so drunk, she could barely look.
I like, bitch, you're going to pick that up now.
Well, I didn't know where it was, so I had to pull out my iPhone, turn on the flashlight. like, ugh, it was such a mess.
Has anyone else out there ever been a victim of dance rape? You're not alone.
Dance rape. We can dance help
you. Well, I remember almost falling a couple times because she was hanging all over.
Oh, that's why?
Yeah.
Wink, wink, nudge,
wink,
nudge.
Yeah.
So that was that. And I was like, I can't. So Ivy does her second performance, was so great.
Yeah.
Spit and fire, twirling plates.
Love it.
Cartwheels, the whole nine. So...
Swords.
You know, swords, plates, all that.
Everything.
Did she do swords?
She did do swords.
Yeah.
So I go towards the front of the club to talk to her after her performance. So, you know, it's so great. And security from the bar, who's also like doorman slash manager, who I consider an acquaintance slash friend from when we worked at this club.
Yeah.
Comes up to me with our card that I had handed out.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hand this out? And I was like,
no.
He's like, you can't be doing this. I said, hold on.
Doing what?
Hold on. I mean, I was so in fear. I was tired. I was like, you know, I'd had a couple drinks. This girl pulled my jewelry off. I had to bend over in front of people.
You were pissed.
I was pissed. I was like, disgusted. I was like, are you kidding me right now?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, you can't be doing that. You can't be doing that. I'm like, that's my business card. Somebody asked for it. I said, how many have you found? He said, just this one. I said, right. I was like, do you see them scattered all over the bar?
Yeah.
And he's like, no. I was like, exactly. I was like, and you know me, dude. Come on. I was like, get out of here. Like, I'm not trying to steal an audience. Get out of here.
Yeah, no.
I was so pissed. So that was that. And later on, he apologized. He was like, I just don't want my boss to come in here and be mad. I was like, I would explain the same thing to your boss.
Yeah,
are you kidding me? Like, I'm not supposed to hand out my business card? I don't get it.
It looks like a flyer for another night, but if they looked at it...
If you took two seconds to look at it...
It looks like it could have been a flyer for another
I'm a drag queen. You think I'm going to hand out a business card that looks, like, boring?
Yeah.
My business card is going to look flashy and exciting.
Yeah.
So, calm down, everybody.
So, yeah.
Woo! I'm on a short fuse, ladies.
That's it.
Short fuse. Don't anybody talk to me.
Well, that's been this episode of the House of Mimosa, the podcast.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry.
No.
I'm sorry, what else do we have?
So,
no, that's done.
Well, this past week was the American Horror Story finale.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Which we all saw.
I don't know.
How did you feel about it?
You know, I don't know. I can't say I didn't enjoy it.
Yeah. I mean,
but
I like to see
what's happened.
Is going on. But
it felt like a very long season, right? And then all of a sudden, this great episode comes on, and it was filled with a lot of stuff, and a lot of things happened, and they wrapped stuff up. And
the Pepper episode. That one?
No, this final episode.
Oh,
final
okay,
episode.
Got it.
And, you know, I felt like a lot of things was happening in this, and it was an exciting episode, and they went into some story with Elsa that I was like, well, I would have loved to see more of this.
Yeah,
like,
it was cool.
So, I can't say I was disappointed by the episode, but it made me even more disappointed in, like, say, the few episodes before it.
I felt like
spoiler
happened.
Spoiler alerts.
What's that?
Possible spoiler alerts.
Oh, no. I felt like this had happened in the last two seasons as well. Where the beginning gets really great. The writing is so good in the very beginning. You get midway through and they don't... It's almost like they get scared and they don't know what to do and how to wrap things up with the storyline. So then they just start, like, coming up with ideas to spew out and kill people off and do this and do that. And then at the end, you're stuck with a half-assed story.
Uh-huh.
And I don't like that. And then it has to... The recap at the end becomes like, oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Oh, okay, let's try to finesse an ending.
Yeah.
And I don't like that. I think that they need to get new writers in there and people need to be more creative.
What did you think, Michelle?
It was all right. I mean, I guess I get why people got killed in this one.
Yeah.
Because in the end it made sense because I don't want to say too much.
Yeah, yeah.
So it made sense. But like... The two episodes of Neil Patrick Harris didn't need to be in there. I don't get what
awkward.
That did for the story. Like, it added two more characters to them be like, nah.
And then,
nah.
Yeah,
and then the episode right before the last one, so the second to last episode, there were scenes in there where the directing was so bad.
So bad.
The scene work was terrible. The actors sounded like they were reading lines off of... You know,
I thought
was,
to myself, who's directing this? Angela Bassett?
Okay. So now, that was a good segue because we were asked to...
Talk about our feelings about Whitney.
The Whitney movie.
The biopic, historic film.
Well, time to play Candy Crush.
Yeah. Well, no. Michelle didn't see it, but...
No.
Thank God.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
First of all, let's look at a couple things here. Whitney.
R.I.P.
The Lifetime movie. Yeah. God. You know, part of me feels like, okay, Whitney to me is so iconic.
So iconic.
And even when she was getting into trouble and we as the public knew about it, she was still kind of like America's sweetheart and was still kind of like an angel. Like,
yeah.
She still had
like, almost
this,
untouchable.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah, you know, this, like, I mean, her voice, like, we talked about this and we'll...
It's the best voice, I think, that has ever existed.
I mean, whether you liked her music or not, you cannot deny that her voice was not only... able to do things that a lot of other voices can't do, but the sound of her voice, like, I just, like,
it was
such
so clear.
Emotion and...
Clear. A friend of ours said clear.
So clear.
It's the perfect word for it. It was just very clear, clean sound.
Because of that, I almost feel a little bit, because she's America's sweetheart and an angel and all that, that she, that this was a little bit too soon. So I feel like we couldn't really get into the gritty stuff that I would have appreciated.
Yeah.
Or even, not even the gritty stuff as far as the drugs and the craziness, but even the gritty stuff as far as her career. Like, what kind of, she must have gone through some gritty career stuff, right?
Yeah.
So it just felt like this was really the Bobby Brown story.
Well, I think that this was, whoever created this, I don't know if it was based on a book or not, but this was based on just their love story. I don't think it really had to do with Whitney's biopic. You know? It was just about Whitney Houston
and then,
him.
As you're wondering where they get this information from, because you're watching the film, and Bobby Brown basically 90% of the time turns down drugs that Whitney is offering him.
Yeah. So
you wonder where this information comes from, and then after the film was over, there's an hour interview with Bobby Brown presented by Lifetime.
Yeah.
So they must have been getting their information from Bobby Brown. That's the only thing I can think. And it was, you know, Angela Bassett did direct the film, and I saw an interview with her, and she said that she offered for the Houston family, her family, Whitney's family, to screen the movie before anybody else. And the only one that showed up to watch it was Dionne Warwick. And I said... Of all the Houstons, you think that Dionne would already know what the film was going to be?
Yeah,
that's my psychic friend's joke. But thanks.
No problem.
Thanks. So the real star of the movie to me was Deborah Cox.
Yes. Well, the best part of the movie was the way that the actress who played Whitney was, I thought, great for the material that she was given.
Yeah,
she did a fabulous job. Her name is Yaya DaCosta.
Yeah, from America's Top Model.
Yeah,
she's a model, and she was in the Oprah movie about
The Butler.
The Butler.
She was
in The Butler too.
Yeah, yeah.
But she was really. I mean, the script was not that good.
No,
I can't say that I felt like the directing was that good.
No,
but Yaya, I think, really held her own.
Really great.
I mean,
it's very hard when you're trying to portray somebody that's famous. You know, that's probably one of the
hardest
things.
And I thought she did a good job of having Whitneyisms without being a caricature. I just think that, you know, Bobby Brown's
They even
character.
Added one of those in there,
they
which
did,
I thought
yeah.
was funny.
Bobby Brown's character was a little too...
He was a little too over the top for my... taste.
I don't think he was over the top. I think he wasn't enough. Like, you mean to tell me he didn't contribute to Whitney getting into any trouble?
Oh, you mean
that
as far
didn't
as
come
that...
across at
well,
all?
He's an angel.
Yeah, that's what
it felt like
to me. It was like, I don't know. But the flip side of that is him during the interview. I felt it seemed very honest and
very
genuine,
honest, very...
and I believed everything he had to say.
I believed what he had to say as well, and it surprised me because I felt like this is the first interview I've ever seen of him where he was calm, cool, and collected, and he doesn't have anything to gain from this by just spewing out now what probably really did happen.
Yeah.
Hopefully he's telling the truth, and, you know, and here's a movie that's showing her in a little bit of a darker light.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, though, the most fun was just to see somebody portray Whitney and in moments of her... from her live performances and history and all those wigs and costumes, which I thought was so much fun. I mean, the highlight of the movie was her wigs.
Well, I heard somebody say, though, when Whitney started, like, her very, in the very, very beginning, she had, like, no hair.
No hair.
And this girl had full-on, big, beautiful hair from the very beginning.
Well, I think it starts with her kind of already being famous, though.
I don't know. I said the movie started after Whitney became famous and before Bobby Christina became fugly. That's basically the span of the story.
Oh, God. Well, that was one thing that was funny about Bobby. Bobby's like, oh, she looks just like me. You know, poor thing.
Well, I've seen pictures of Bobby Christina now, and she looks pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, she does. She looks pretty. I mean, I've only seen pictures, you know, as they, you know, here and there. I have no idea. So, one thing I want to talk about that we haven't really touched on in our podcast yet is a little bit about, you know, working hard and the payoff. Because, you know, a question that we get a lot is, how do you guys do it? You know? And I felt like when I was kind of coming up as a young adult and in my early 20s and trying to figure things out in New York City, I didn't really feel like I had an example of how to do it or what do I do? Like, I basically backpacked down to New York City and crashed on couches and had to just figure it out.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to take a quick moment to kind of maybe talk a little bit about our story as performers and young adults and the things that we kind of go through. I know Michelle is, in addition to assisting us, which we love you for, and we always say Michelle is the neck to our head.
Yes.
Is in between day jobs now.
Yes.
And like, you know, what is that like as a young adult,
like the struggle of living in the city. And
yeah, it's not easy. And I know we have a lot of listeners that are younger than Michelle is.
Oh.
And, and you know,
I
just
to listen to this.
Well, I just thought we should take a quick minute to like, just, you know, work hard. And, you know, we didn't know what to do when we started.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't know where to go or what to do. And Michelle, like you were at home, if you grew up here in Queens and you finally made the leap to be like, you know what, I'm moving out on my own, I'm doing it. You found the job that you had at that time and you made it work and we're making it work. And so you just kind of, it's hard to understand what you have to do, I think. I'm rambling a little bit here. What I'm trying to say is that it's easy to look at other people and be like, God, they were just handed that, or feel a little bit green about, envious about somebody else's situation. But I think the more successful somebody is, the harder they've worked for it. And there's not always an answer in what to do. So I guess, you know, if either one of you think of this is very not planned.
Well, I think it's like what we always say in our show is we say live your passion.
But it's more than that.
You do something
like,
that is passionate in your life that you want to do.
But what does that mean? Okay, somebody wants to
Well, I was always told if you do what you feel you love to do, then you'll be successful at it.
Okay, but that doesn't say how to do it. So what I'm saying is, what do you have to do? So say you want to be the manager of The Gap.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. What do you have to do, right?
I mean, you just got to go out there and do it, right? Go and
do the thing. Oh,
I was
going to
say audition, I mean, you know, interview and
Right, and it's easy to say, like, do what you have to, but specifically, like, what is it? So we can only speak about our experiences. So I can tell you that when we started our show, we started as this podcast, the podcast you're listening to right now. If you go back to episode one, that's the very first time we ever did anything in the realm of House of Mimosa. And I didn't know what I was doing in recording. All I knew how to do was hit the record button in GarageBand, and that was it. The rest, I had to figure it out. I didn't know how to get the episode on iTunes. I had to figure it out. So there's an answer out there for everybody. If you're stuck in something, I think the internet is such a great source. You can Google it. Surround yourself with other people that are doing things that you would like to do. If you don't know where they are, Google it. Where do the managers of The Gap hang out? You know, where do people... No, I'm serious. Like,
well, he's just using the gap as a tool.
Right.
I understand.
And it's true. Like, for us in our show at this point, anytime we're like, oh, let's explore the possibility of doing a gig in this area, we need to spend some time in that area. So we get dialed up and we go out to the to a bar or a club or an event in that area, and we surround ourselves with those people, and we spread the word that, oh, we're trying to do something in this area. And you know what? It comes. So it's about showing up, filling out the application, and making it happen. Seriously. And I know a lot of you guys might feel lost out there or feel like you don't know what to do. And that's okay. But work every day. Touch something every day that has to do with your craft and your goals. And it will happen. You have to make, you make it happen. Don't wait around for anybody else to make it happen. I think that's one of the most important things.
Well said.
Yeah. And I'm so excited. And the reason I want to talk about this is we've got, over the next couple of weeks, some really exciting guests coming on. And some in entertainment, some in makeup, some in fashion. And I'm excited to talk to them about their journey and how they made it happen. Because not only do I want this podcast to be entertaining, I want it to be something that you guys can listen to and afterwards feel good about and feel inspired by, because I know personally I felt like a lack of that in my life as I was coming up. Mm. So, not to get too serious.
Mm-hmm. But, it's like life coaching with Travis Barr.
That's it. So enough life coaching. Let's turn it over to WKRZ 101.2, Astoria Radio. WKRZ 101.2, Astoria Radio. You know me, Cool Kurt Cassidy, joined by my gal pal.
I'm Kat Colombo.
And we've got a special guest coming up today, famed Astoria local actress extraordinaire, Sheena Shantice.
I love Sheena Shantice.
I mean, she's fan-frickin-tastic. I mean, the rack on this girl, you know what? Sheena, you look beautiful today, and I'm so excited to have you here.
Thank you so much, Kurt.
Oh, Sheena, I'm just so happy you're here. You're my favorite on the telenovelas.
Now, Kat, you're a woman. I know you must be jealous of Sheena Shantice's rack. I mean, guys, I wish you could see it. Something to make you proud.
Oh.
Now, I don't watch soap operas because I'm not into women's things, but Kat, I'm sure you got nothing else better to do.
Well, anyway. So, Sheena, you played two parts on your telenovela. What was that like?
It was amazing. I get to play two twin sisters. Their names are Guadalupe and Margarita Jimenez.
Now, this is from the famed telenovela show, De Pasión Con Mi Corazón. Is
that
correct?
Right. In Spanish, it is De Pasión Con Mi Corazón. And that means with passion from my heart.
So romantic.
Now, you grew up in Astoria. Is that correct, Sheena?
I sure did. I love Astoria, Queens. I'm a New Yorker through and through.
Now, Sheena, level with me here. Did you sleep your way to the top? Because I gotta tell you, from where I'm sitting, I think that could be a possibility.
Aye, Kurt, thank you. That's so sweet. But I wouldn't call it sleeping what I was doing. It was hard work.
So, Sheena, your two characters recently got killed off, and usually when that happens, the actress is getting into something. So what's going on?
Well, I'm very excited to announce here, for the first time, that there is a new project coming up on the horizon.
Oh.
But it is a project that I did over 25 years ago. It's a little show called All Night Strut.
I've heard of that.
Well, we toured all over New Jersey for 3 weeks. And now we're bringing the show back from 25 years ago, but this time it's going to be live in Espanol on Telemundo because of the current success of Peter Pan Live. I'm so excited, you guys.
Now, is there going to be any nudity in this show?
I think what Kurt's trying to ask is, what's the show about?
Well, the story is about one woman and a gang of 25 men.
Oh.
Sounds like my kind of show.
Well, it's very progressive. It had never been done before on stage.
A gang of 25 men must keep you real busy, Sheena. In fact, I'd pay for a ticket to see that.
What he means is, what's the rehearsal process like for a live musical?
Well, you know, normally you have to rehearse a lot, but for me, I don't really have to say much in this musical. It's more about the men's experience with my beauty and how different parts of my body look in different scenarios.
I'm picturing a few scenarios in my head right now, Sheena. In fact, why don't we try something now? Why don't you come on over here?
No, how about you just tell us a little bit more about the show?
What's your favorite part?
Well, there's one scene where my character plays a girl that works in a bodega, and she's stalking the freezer, and then these two gangs of men come in and start shooting all over, and then the milk explodes all over my body and face.
Now, Sheena, I was so disappointed when your character got killed off on the telenovela. It was the saddest thing to me.
Oh.
I was hoping maybe you could reenact one of my favorite scenes here
for
me today.
Which one? Which one?
The one when Señor Hernando came and cornered you into the bathroom.
Oh, yes. He cornered Margarita. She was cleaning the toilets, and then he walks in, and he stands her up and puts her up against the wall, and she says, Señor, simplemente estaba limpiando el servicio. Señor, por favor, no. And he says, Margarita, te quiero. Ay, por favor, señor, no me ataques, por favor. No, no, señor, por favor, no. Ay, Dios mío, te tengo dos niños,
niñitos. Oh my gosh, that was my favorite. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
On that note, I'm going to have to excuse myself for the little boys' room.
Please hang up and try again.
Well, we always love hearing from the WKRZ 101.2 morning radio crew. I'm so excited.
Well, Cool Carcassie had something going on today.
Something's not wrong.
Something's not right in River City.
We are coming to you now live from our dressing room at the Out NYC, where we do our brunch show every Sunday at Kitchen, and we have a fabulous guest here with us. We're so excited to have you for our first guest.
That's right.
I don't even know your last name, Prescott.
Yeah, it's Prescott.
Prescott.
It's actually, and the last name is Seymour.
Prescott Seymour.
Yeah. And
who is Suddenly Seymour?
You may know Suddenly Seymour from the drag scene here in New York City. Welcome.
I'm thrilled to be here.
So great to have you.
Wow. So I have to admit, I said to you earlier as you came in, I'm embarrassed that I don't see you more often. You're one of our favorites. And
I love you, too. I don't get a chance to see you. I haven't been to your brunch yet, and I'm dying to.
You bastard.
I am.
Well, here's the thing, right? We all work all the time. So
how can we support? Hit your cock right now.
Lord, right. Okay.
So, let's familiarize our audience a little bit with you. Tell us a little bit about where you've come from. I know you're from Chicago.
Yep, northern suburbs. I'm from suburbs of Chicago. I went to the high school that Mean Girls is based off of.
Really?
Really.
Were there some Mean Girls there?
Oh, yeah.
Were you one of the Mean Girls?
Yeah, of course! Yes, and. No, I hope not. Oh, God, are you listening? Anyway, my best friend from high school moved to Germany, so I really haven't kept in touch with many of them. But actually, through drag, I've gotten back in touch with a couple friends.
Well, Now you're famous.
I am not famous.
And now they all want to know your name.
No. Gayness. I'll take gayness.
Okay, gayness.
Gayness.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That's a nice expression.
Yeah, like because that. We're not fame. It's not like fame unless you're like Bianca Del Rio.
Well.
You know.
Like us.
Of course.
Right. Like us and Bianca Del Rio. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, God.
So when did you move to New York?
Back in '07. Back in 2007.
Okay.
Yeah. So I've been here for, this is going to be year 8.
Now, you're an actor, musical theater performer.
Mm-hmm.
Were you doing that in Chicago?
No. I grew up in Chicago. I went to high school there. I went to school in Michigan. But not University of Michigan.
I
say Michigan. It's like, oh, you're like, no.
I know.
No,
such a prestigious.
Just got to let them think whatever they think.
Exactly. That's why I say I went to school in Michigan. Think what you want. No, yeah. I'm a proud alum of Western Michigan University. Go Broncos. I guess I've never went to a football game.
Okay.
But they have a great theater program there. I started off as a theater major, and then so I wanted to be a straight actor. I wanted to be Ian McKellen, and because I love that. I studied Shakespeare and Chekhov and all that. But I kept
X-Men.
Of course, naturally. But I kept getting cast in the musicals. So
because you have a voice.
I do sing. Unfortunately for you, I do sing. Yeah. I switched my major to musical theater and then got cast in all the plays.
Oh, nice.
So it was a very well-rounded theatrical education.
God damn it.
They tried to make me the straightest actor, and it just didn't work out too well, because now I wear a dress for a living. But I'm getting paid, so they're happy. So.
And that's
okay,
the
so
plus.
You moved to New York.
Mm-hmm.
Right after college?
Yeah, right. I did Summer of Summer Stock. I got booked two theaters in one summer, and that was exhausting. Came to New York City, booked my TheaterWorks USA tour.
Oh, like me.
Yeah, exactly. I did Seussical for about a year, which was
very fun.
I got to meet some great people and took my equity card too soon, and then the economy crashed.
Yes.
Well, wait a minute. Back up a little bit, because earlier we were talking about kind of making things happen for yourself. And
yes.
I we have a very diverse audience. And for our young listeners out there that are maybe still in high school or thinking about going to college, what was your process like? Like, how did you get summer stock after college? How was your, I guess what I'm trying to ask is, was your college experience super important to you getting work after. In entertainment afterwards?
Yeah, you know, we were really lucky because there's a great theater in Indiana called in Warsaw, Indiana, called Wagon Wheel Theater, and they would come up to Kalamazoo, Michigan, where Western is, and all the schools from Grand Rapids, Michigan, and Ann Arbor, they'd come to our school to audition for this summer stock company, and that's where I got that. There's also a great theater out in Saugatuck, Michigan, where I got my equity EMC points, membership candidacy points.
Okay. And for those who don't know, EMC is...
EMC is Equity Membership Candidate, the candidacy program. Say that three times fast.
Okay. And equity is important.
It's a union. It's the actors' union.
The actors' union for stage.
And there's a lot of, for those who don't know, a lot of auditions only take... actors that are members of this union.
Equity. Yes. Right. So, like Wagon Wheel Theater in Warsaw, Indiana, non-equity. Though I think they're taking equity contracts now. I have no idea. It's been years.
Probably for leads.
But I got my connection with equity. My first summer stock company was Mason Street Warehouse out in Saugatuck, Michigan. And Saugatuck is like the Fire Island of Michigan.
Okay.
It's fabulous. Uh-huh. So it was great.
So for you, college was important to your next step.
I think so.
Because for me, it was like not. I was like, I just... and opened the window and threw money out the window.
And I've heard success stories from people not going to college, you know. And
well, I think my situation, and this is for our listeners out there, is I don't think I went to the right school. So,
and that's a big thing. Like, yeah. I'm not a religious person at all, but I do believe in energy and the universe. So yeah. I feel like what energy you put out there, it will just kind of fall into line. And so Western Michigan University was supposed to happen for me. Mm-hmm. And it was. And it developed the relationships that I needed that I have still in this city, in New York City.
So kids, if you're listening, do your research on your schools.
Yes.
Seriously. Because I didn't. I just went to...
Do your homework. Honestly. Yeah. And that goes with... In live, do your homework.
Yeah. And I went to AMDA here in the city, the American Musical Dramatic Academy, which is...
Never heard of it.
Yeah, exactly. So, and I got out of it what I put in it. And I enjoyed my experience thoroughly. And I was able to work and do things as well. And had a great time doing that.
And a lot of queens went to AMDA. Yeah. Marty Gould Cummings. Yeah. And Paige Turner. Mm-hmm. And
you're in good company.
Yes.
So, okay. So that was important. So now let's go now to, you're working, you toured, you said.
Yes, I was on the road. I was on the road with Seussical for about a year. I went back a couple times because I was unemployed and needed work. And it was say what you will about children's theater tours.
No.
It's nitty, it's gritty, it's hard, but it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. I did two time. National tours. And
it was a lot of fun. It was a great experience. I got to see the country for free.
I know. I've been almost everywhere.
Right?
Yeah.
And then I spent 2 years working on Disney Cruise Line, which was
very
great.
Very fun.
And I got to work with some really cool people. And that's kind of how... And I do a lot of Disney in my show, and I think that's where it kind of comes from.
Uh-huh.
And I got to go to Europe. So my 20s were great just because, you know, in your 20s, I kind of considered, like... the 20s being, you know, your second puberty because you become 21, you think you've got it all figured out, and you realize by 25, no, you don't have it figured out. So just keep living, get experience, travel, and see the world because now I'm 30. I'm going to admit that. In my shows, I always say I'm 150 because I don't want people to know.
So you can look good for your age.
How dare you? Yeah. Yes. I feel like I've got a good life experience, which I can kind of bring to Suddenly Seymour.
Right.
Yes.
You know.
So you toured, you're based out of New York.
Yeah.
And then what happens? How do you go from working as a
musical theater actor,
better term,
or
legitimate actor?
Legitimate. What does that even mean
to
anymore?
Just a measly drag queen.
Measly drag.
How dare you?
I don't have the measles. Anyway, that was stupid. what was I going to say? So all these gigs I booked that I was really lucky to book, you know, and that's not me complaining, but New York is home. I've been here now for, like I said, almost 8 years, and I want this to be home. I want to build my life here.
Yeah.
And there's no effing work for actors because back to the economy crash.
Yes.
Equity contracts went down the drain.
Yeah, equity was gone, and if you were non-equity, you were working
a lot
more.
No, they're not gone. They're just going through a lot of struggles. It's a time of transition. It's a time of change for them, and they're still figuring that out. A lot of my friends are still auditioning. I'm not auditioning right now. That doesn't mean I won't audition. I'm just not doing it. I'm focusing elsewhere, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't And God bless every single actor listening to this. God bless you, because I heard about the Muni call the other day. 800 people at Ripley Greer Studios. They lined up from the 16th floor the way down the stairs to the 3rd floor. And I don't have the energy for
not
that.
Not anymore.
Yeah. And like,
in my 20s, I did.
Totally.
Not now.
And I applaud
not
everybody
now.
Who does that.
Now, what's a Muni audition?
The Muni is a big regional theater out in St. Louis.
Oh, okay.
There, uh-huh. I mean, it's huge. It's like, that's a good resume perk.
So all the actors in New York, it was like American Idol. They were like, I have to.
Yeah.
And that's what it feels like. When nobody can tell you that your whole life, everybody says, being an actor is hard. It's a hard lifestyle. You can hear that over and over and over again. But everybody thinks, you know what? It's going to be different for me. And you realize, nope.
Well, and this, you know what it is? It's for me, we talk about this in our podcast a lot, is doing what you love to do.
Yes.
So
yeah.
It does. I mean, we worked for years before it became a job, before it became a career.
Right.
And we did that on top of our other full-time jobs because we loved what we did.
Yeah.
So we would be at work for 10 hours, rush home, get into face,
and
go do the show.
Right.
And all the other stuff that we do. Because, you know, we consider ourselves a little bit more of a production company than just
and you have
drag
to,
queens.
You have to approach
and,
it that way.
Right,
yes.
Exactly. You have to. And,
you have to approach it like a business.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was a lot of work on top of that. But because we loved it, because we do love it, it doesn't feel like work. So you have to do what you love.
I'm not very high maintenance. Like, I never really cared what stage I was performing on. It's what my calling. It's what I have to do. I love to perform. I love to make people laugh. I love to make people feel good.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I know it sounds cheesy saying, oh, it's my calling, but like that, I think that is really what I'm meant to do. I don't care if I have to put on clown makeup and put on a dress. If I get to perform, I get to perform.
Well, it's really funny. We talk about like, what's the next step? Like, right, because as a business, we, and as drag queens, you're your own business.
Right.
As actors, you're your own business. You're your
totally.
Own brand. So what's next for our business and our brand? What's the next thing? And it's like, well, you think, well, what happens if this were to end tomorrow? It's like, well, I have no idea what else I'd be doing.
I
can't even wrap my mind around what I would be doing. I can't even think if I had to go apply for a quote-unquote real job, what that would be.
You know, I think there's a, with drag queens, there's this idea that RuPaul's Drag Race is the next step. And yes, RuPaul, and I have to say, RuPaul's Drag Race has done amazing things for the drag community.
Many people.
It's given so much, and it's also taken so much.
It has done so much, but every drag queen wants to be on that show. That's like saying, that's like every musical theater girl coming to New York City and saying, I want to be Elphaba on Broadway.
Yes.
But it's like that girl just, if every girl said that, your chances are slim to nothing. You have to make your own success.
Yeah.
So you have to, like, I take inspiration from girls before RuPaul's Drag Race. I'm a big fan of Coco Peru. I'm a big
I got
to work with Charles Bush on a show.
You did?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If
that's
you guys
wonderful.
Don't know Charles Bush, please look him up. He did a film. Well, he's known for a lot of other things, but one of my favorite projects is his film Die, Mommy, Die, which is kind of a spoof of Mommy Dearest.
Yes.
So please check. And if you don't know Mommy Dearest, our young listeners, you need to race right out and download it, get a copy of it. Mommy Dearest is the most fabulous, like, over-the-top
Faye Dunaway
as Joan Crawford. You have to see it. Okay, sorry.
I am not one of her fans.
Yeah, exactly.
No, so I love Coco Peru. I love Charles Bush.
Mm-hmm.
Who else did I love? Hedda Lettuce. I mean, Lettuce. These are girls who created careers without the platform of RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yeah.
So there is a next step. There are many steps. You just have to You can't put, you can't put all your eggs in one basket. You kind of, it's like that Carol Channing, the Hello Dolly saying, money, if you pardon the expression, is like manure. Well, I consider the same for drag careers. You got to spread.
Right.
Yourself all over the place.
Yes,
well, you know, it's funny because
disgusting.
And I want to get into how you started drag.
Yeah.
Because, but I want to say this first, based on what you just said, is that we kind of are going down the path that seems to be paving itself for us.
Yeah.
So we're working really hard, but we're, you know, our ears are wide open to hear where we're being called to.
Yeah.
And, you know, like we were called to restart. It sounds very born again Christian. We were called again to do this, start our podcast again. And we're called to, you know, sometimes do shows for no monetary compensation, or we're sometimes feel inclined to, you know, do X, Y, and Z. And it's very, those things might be very foreign to what the typical drag route to success might be.
Yeah.
And I think it's very smart of you, like you're saying, you spread yourself thin. It's kind of the same thing. Spread yourself all over so you can do a ton of different things. You have a ton of eggs in your basket. You have more than one basket with more than one egg in it, and
it's the networking game.
Yeah,
it's totally the networking game. Yeah. Where you just
Tell us how Sutton started.
Sutton started. You know,
first of all, I have to say one of my favorite drag names, Sutton.
Sutton Lee Seymour.
Yes. Okay. So listen, kids, if you don't get the joke, get an education. Listen, a lot of schools offer BFA programs. Just come to one of my shows. You'll have one in about an hour and a half.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Sutton Lee Seymour, it comes from the musical Little Shop of Horrors, and about a man-eating plant. Two things. I am a man-eating plant, and Seymour is my last name.
Uh-huh.
So, everybody my whole life said, oh, you should sing Sutton Lee Seymour as a solo. Well, it's a duet and doesn't work. And one day I just said, that doesn't work. For the umpteenth time, it doesn't work. Unless, okay, maybe if I were a drag queen named Sutton Lee Seymour. Oh, this is a thing now. And I've always been kind of intrigued by drag, totally intrigued by drag, but afraid of it just because I've seen many drag queens and a few drag shows where I just was bored. And I don't like boring shows. And that's not, I think the face, beautiful, the body, beautiful. But like, I don't want to just strut on a stage and just take tips. I want to put on a show.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then coming to and seeing the New York drag scene, seeing what was happening, that you can put on like a quality show with drag, then I was intrigued, but I had to have the good name. I didn't want to do it.
Can you spell it out for people? Because they may not know how
So Sutton, it's S-U-T-T-O-N for Sutton Foster. Now, those of you that don't know who Sutton Foster is, get an education! Anyway, she's a Broadway actress, Tony Award winning. I want her life. I want her career. Sutton.
I know.
Lee, I always tell people it's a subtle reference to Gypsy Rose Lee, or if you're racist, Asians, and but and then Seymour is my last name. So
Perfect.
There's many different things, and that's the thing. I want there to be many things. When you think of the name Sutton Lee Seymour, I want you to think of like a depthy, you know, pardon the Shrek reference, but onion. I want there to be layers and a disgusting scent in the air, and I want you to have tears in your eyes.
And what was the first performance that you ever did as Sutton?
About 2 years ago, I did Paige Turner's Virgin Show at New World Stages, where I do my weekly show now.
I want to hear about So You Think You Can Drag.
We'll talk about that.
Okay.
So I did the Virgin Show, and it was supposed to be a one-time thing. Well, the kids liked it a lot.
Yeah.
And
they wanted more of Sutton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which was nice.
Yeah.
Good. And Paige invited me to come compete in So You Think You Can Drag. And I was like, well, this is new. I didn't book any work for the summer or the fall because, oh, well.
As an actor, as a
legitimate actor. And so it was something creative to do. And this was an opportunity to meet new people, make new friends. And I was in that, at that time, I was going through a kind of a hard time because I was going through a breakup.
Yeah.
And so I was into meeting new people, making new friends, and being part of a new community, and just doing something different. I won, which was a big surprise.
Did you sing live in So You Think You Can Drag?
I did a few times. I sang Poor Unfortunate Souls. I did my parody version of Sutton Lee Seymour, and then... yeah, I sang a few times, and I made a lot of great friends who I'm still friends with.
That's so great.
It really was just like I said, the universe just saying, this is where you need to go, this is what you need to, these people are here for you, and you need to be there for them, and that's how you develop that friendship.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the two of you, you know?
Yeah.
I know.
So,
and that's one thing that I always wish we had more of, is more of connection with the drag girls of nightlife in New York City.
Yeah.
I think because the path that we've had has been so unique and so different from what the normal thing is. We kind of run parallel to the other
two paths. We're like kind of going this way and that way.
Totally. So you did So You Think You Can Drag.
Yes.
You won.
I did win, which I didn't anticipate.
Fabulous.
Well,
which
you
was
did.
Great.
That's so fabulous. I can see how you'd win. And then comes the work in booking your shows, right? So how do you go from winning that?
Did it come naturally, or was it something you had to work hard at?
It was pure dumb luck.
Yeah.
I mean, from So You Think You Can Drag, I won a year-long show at New World Stages in their bar called The Green Room. It's there every Wednesday at approximately 8 o'clock. New World Stages, Wednesdays,
Perfect. Free.
I'm fun. Anyway.
Well, this is funny because we did a Wednesday night in the beginning of the winter season, and we made sure to be after you.
Oh.
Because we knew you were 8 o'clock. We did after 10.
We
started like 10:30.
We made sure that it was smart.
Yes, girl.
Oh, yeah. Well, we knew.
Well, you think I'm stupid?
You know, and we
didn't want to say anything. So from there, I've become really good friends with Marty Gould Cummings. And Marty booked a show in P-Town last summer and so had to leave her gig at Barracuda Lounge. And so Bob invited the owner of Barracuda to come see my show. at New World Stages, and from there I booked my Barracuda show, which is every Tuesday at Barracuda.
You know what, why don't you give us the rundown of where people can see you? So
great. So Mondays, I'm at Hardware Bar with our big party that Justin, Luke, and I produce. It's called Broadway Mondays. It's a return to musical Mondays that we've been without since Splash closed. And so Justin is a big musical theater nerd. Obviously, I am too. and so we celebrate show tunes from 7 p.m. to 2 a.m. at Hardware every Monday night. We've got a Broadway guest star that comes in at 11 o'clock every Monday. We do a show. I do some numbers.
So they do Musical Monday starting at 7, but what time do you perform?
I go on at 11 o'clock, but I'm there mingling. Listen, it's my favorite night of the week because it's a show. Come on. I'm so gay for musical theater.
And you're such a mingler.
I love people.
Yes.
That's the thing. Nightlife, it's a people business. And I think a lot of people forget that it is a people business.
Well, it's so funny because we got to spend the evening together at the Slammy Awards,
which was fabulous.
But it was the first time we were ever in a room with a ton of other queens, and it was very interesting to see the ones who would come up to us and be really nice and friendly, and the ones that would like have blinders on that wouldn't even like look our way.
I just don't take it personally.
No. But I just think it's very interesting. Like you're saying, it is a. You know, you should make connections. You know, like we knew you from before that, but at that night we connected and we booked you for the podcast. You know, like, so it is a people business and,
just say hi, just smile. Really. Yeah.
We're men in dresses.
I mean, we're all insecure. Just get.
Totally.
Take it away.
Insecure at all.
No.
So Mondays I'm at Hardware Bar. Tuesdays I'm at Barracuda Lounge, which we're doing some fun things. We can talk more about that. But Tuesdays Barracuda. Wednesdays I'm at New World Stages. Those are my three regular gigs. And I'm at Stonewall once a month singing live down at the ground floor. And then I started working with Jesse Luttrell and his little vaudeville, this biggest little vaudeville called Body, which opens this month. So it's been a lot of fun. I've gotten to do a lot of really, really cool things. I did some gigs over at Icon and Astoria. And there's that. I miss them so much. Hire me.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I've been very, very lucky, and that it just comes back to like Marty recommended me seeing you guys at the Slammys.
Hey, it's really word of mouth and who you know, and you know,
so,
being there.
And social media, lots of social media.
Because we're sponsored by Dragaholic, who we love.
Hi, Dragaholic. Please like me.
They'll love you. So listen, I want to hear a little bit about. You spoke a little bit before we started recording about what kind of drag meant to you and what it did for you personally.
Yeah.
And I think that's such a nice thing for people to understand. And this is why I think it's important. I don't think it's just drag. I think it's the arts in general. So totally. I always love to preach a little bit to audiences about how important arts are for children.
Yeah.
Because I think it's the same exact thing. So can you, we only have a couple minutes left, but could you kind of speak a little bit about what drag personally did for you, for your soul?
It's really interesting. So I was in a long-term relationship, and you know, long story short, we're friends now, and that's totally good and grand and great, and I always wish him well. But it was an
asshole.
No.
I'm kidding.
We all have one.
Yeah.
So, but it was a hard breakup, and my confidence was shot. It was the lowest low. It was the lowest low I think I've ever...
We're getting that D, girl.
Yeah, it was the low... Listen, I'm going to get very personal here. It was, like, the lowest low. And, like, I lost my mother about 6 years ago, and so that was really hard. And that kind of shifted my life, too. And then... But having him in my life, which just kind of became my anchor, but then my anchor was torn away from me. So I had to build myself back up, and I could not rely on anybody but myself. Of course, my father's... Oh, God, I love my father. But my dad's in Chicago. And, you know, my dad and I, we have five-minute conversations. Like, oh, how are you, Scott? You doing good? I'm like, yeah, Dad, I'm doing good. Just trying not, you know, another day. Really depressed. It's okay. So that's where I was. It was really hard.
This is so important because, like you're talking about the 20s. Like, your 20s, I think we all go through that. You get that newfound independence. You know, you're finally out on your own.
Right.
After school.
And, like, this was, I mean, God, I shouldn't, like, blur over my mother's death as subtly as I did, because that was a very hard time in my life.
Sure.
But my ex was really there for me during that time. But years later, it was time for us to, you know, move on from each other. And so...
You needed to grow as a person.
Exactly.
Get stronger on your own.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so doing that on my own. So what drag did for me, it built my confidence back up. People saw I was putting myself in a very, very vulnerable situation where I didn't know if my makeup was on point or is it on fleek now.
Oh, gosh.
And I didn't know if people were going to like a musical theater queen, and they were eating it up. And so that, you know, that was an ego boost, and I needed that. And so You Think You Can Drag rolled around, it gave me something to focus on. I never felt more inspired to, like, just throw myself into something. It was like the passion I had for performing and for working with other people.
And creating.
It took me out of my isolation, and I needed that. And that's interesting because we all have such separate lives, and each of us have individual hopes for our life and career. But what we forget is we really need each other to push each other up and heighten each other in our lives. And so the community helped me build myself back up. The people who came to the show and were screaming my name, and it was crazy. So,
did you realize that that was doing something to your energy, to your soul?
You know, it's like the first time you do a show when you're a kid, children's theater, community theater, and the first time you get that round, you hear a round of applause for you or people are laughing at what you're saying, there's that rush. And over time, it kind of gets numbed out a little bit. And that feeling came back after my first performance of doing drag, and it excited me. So I wanted to keep living that up.
Yeah.
And of course, nowadays, now it's become my job, it's become my career, and it's like a roller coaster. There could be up nights and down nights, and okay, this audience is not really into it, but that's okay, you move on, and then the next night, oh my god, this is the best night of my life.
Yep.
And it makes it worth it. I'd like to say this in my show a lot too, because I really think it's important, because we have such an armor with the makeup, with the costumes, and the wigs, that it's really important to, like, kind of let people peek into a vulnerable side. I like to sing ballads a lot in my show. I talk about my father in my show. My father was a big support. Is still to this day a very big support to me, and I talk about him a lot in my show. So as Sutton Lee, I don't necessarily break character, but I allow people to take a peek into my personal life, so they can understand why I'm maybe singing Wicked Little Town or The Origin of Love.
Mm-hmm.
Because to me, I always say this, I talk about my father in a story I tell too many times, but I say, to me, my father is the origin of love. You know, and then I sing The Origin of Love. And so it brings people in. And that I think that helps make them want to come back.
Yeah.
Because we're going to have a good time. I'm going to make you laugh. And hopefully, you know, make you want to call your dad and say, hey, Dad, I love you too.
That's so nice. I think that's so nice, because I think that that's a side of drag that
you don't
people
see a
don't
lot.
See or they don't think about. You know, like,
mm-hmm.
you think about going to the club and seeing, you know, a runway walk and a read.
Something,
you know, someone
clears,
reads somebody.
You know.
And,
right.
So nice that...
My reads suck.
Well, here's the thing. It's not that, you know, we totally recognize, and this is what's so great about drag, is that these different forms of drag are all art.
Yes.
And to me, one is not better than the other. But I can say, from my understanding, the majority that I've seen of drag is the fierce, gorgeous,
oh my God.
Let me do, you know, lip syncing to a remix song. And so for me, it's so nice to see this different type of artistry put behind drag.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for that. I think that is so great. You guys, thank you so much for listening. Thank you, Sutton Lee, Prescott Seymour.
Prescott Lee Seymour.
Yeah.
So confused.
I sound like such an amateur. I sound like people when they talk, what should I call you, Anita or Travis? I'm like, do I have the wig on?
No, come on.
So thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
You're your first
appreciate
official
it.
Guest.
I love
show.
It.
And please, where can they find you online?
You can listen to them on Facebook, Sutton Lee Seymour, Instagram, @ Sutton Lee Seymour.
And that's S-U-T-T-E-N.
O-N.
O-N.
Oh, Sutton.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Sutton.
So
S-U-T-T-O-N-L-E-E-S-E-Y-M-O-U-R. So many words. Or letters.
And you're on Twitter
at
Sutton Lee.
5678.
5678.
This kid wants
5678.
This kid comes and is like, why is your Twitter handle suddenly 5678? Like, is that the year you were born? Like, no. 5678. She likes musical theater.
Yes.
Well, who doesn't?
Thank you so much for being with us. I'm so excited you are our first official guest.
I'll come back.
Yes, please do.
Check out Suddenly online on Instagram and Twitter and on Facebook and all that jazz. You could probably just Google your name, I'm sure. And,
sure. But I don't know. I've never Googled myself. Oh, that's not that's
yeah, you're
that's
such
bullshit.
A liar.
I never Googled
you're an actor
myself.
And a drag queen. That's such a lie. Thank you guys so much for joining us. This is the House of Mimosa, the podcast. We will see you next week.
This week's guest segment was produced by Austin Gallardi.
Say hi, Austin.
Hi, Austin.